You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
So while the implementation of the Global Minimum Tax Act might not necessarily have a direct impact on South Africans at the moment, something that might have a bigger impact on our lives is the latest appointment of the new executive committee structure by Eskom's CEO, Dan Marokane. I'm joined on the line by independent analyst Tsepo Khadima to take a look at Eskom's new exco and see what we're in store for here. Dr. Khadima, good evening. Lovely to catch up with you. Compliments of the new year to you. Are you surprised by this announcement?
Well, first, greetings, Remo Yaha, and compliments to you as well as to the listeners of Market Update on SAFM. No, I wasn't surprised, but I think maybe some points worth noting is the fact that there most probably will be a misalignment going forward, taking into account that the transmission company is not, in terms of its reporting lines, is not reflected in the new structure. And that perhaps maybe talks to the strategic direction of Eskom as an entity when we look at the appointments that have been made. And that is to say that by and large, it would appear that Eskom will be more of a power generation company and be reliant on companies that will be semi-independent, even though owned by Eskom, being the first, the transmission company, and secondly, the distribution company. And should that be the case, I think it's going to be, we are going to have a bloated corporate structure in terms of this exco. When the breakaway of the distribution company also follows through. But most importantly, I think beyond just applauding the fact that you've got a very experienced team of executives that have been appointed, is I think we'll be more interested to look at the strategic direction which Mr. Marokane wishes to take the entity, Eskom, Holdings SOC, because it will still be a holding company that he's leading by and large, to say, well, what is the strategic direction of this company against the backdrop of a very challenging environment going forward? Declining sales, electricity sales, that continues to be on the decline unabated, and rising tariffs, which a result not necessarily of Eskom's base load coal-fired power stations and nuclear being the contributing factor, but the role of the so-called independent power producers in as far as the tariff climate which we find ourselves in, whereby effectively Eskom has priced us out of the competitiveness scales as an economy, and hence the declining sales. And so we'd be interested to hear from this newly appointed or constituted exco in terms of how they are going to respond to this. How are they going to arrest the ever-rising tariffs, and how they are going to also bolster the electricity sales? I mean, the announcement, for example, that ArcelorMittal is to close its steel mill at Newcastle. That is not just about the job losses that will result from there, but also it means that Eskom is losing yet another key customer and energy-intensive user, and therefore meaning that Eskom will sit with more and more idle capacity, as currently is the case.
I want to look at the exco in a bit more detail before we get into some of the other Eskom operations. As you rightly mentioned, I mean, this is quite an experienced exco with everyone from the CFO, who's been at the entity for more than two decades, to the head of group generation, who's been there almost three decades as well. This surely, firstly, can't come at a, I don't imagine it comes at an affordable rate. Someone with that level of experience would be on the higher end of that spectrum. But it's something that we need to have in place to ensure that we've got a good structure and a good functioning business here. But when we look at the Eskom that we know now, one of the other issues that needs to be addressed is that issue of the collecting of monies from municipalities, alongside the issues you've mentioned around generation and all of that, do we think that improving the Exco is how we then solve those problems? Or is it something that's part of those steps to say we need the right team in place, then we need to address some of those issues, and to do that we have to make these decisions?
Well, it is part of that journey to ensuring that you can have a stable ESCOM. And I think the term that they used was that they want to future-proof ESCOM. But now is a question of the detail around that future-proofing of ESCOM. And the future-proofing, as I say, for me, the unbundling of ESCOM, starting with the taking out of the national transmission company, so-called, is a fundamental error that, you know, I think they are going to live to regret it. And the intent to then hive off the distribution company, remember, the inability to collect any arrears, or rather the revenue from the electricity sales, it lies squarely with the distribution company, because it is the distribution company that at the same time is competing with other intermediaries, particularly the municipal customers, whereby, again, it's something that one would have thought that perhaps they should have been attempts to remove the middlemen, as I call them, which is the municipalities. Municipalities have no business in actually being in the business of distribution and selling of electricity, because by and large, that has been the source of ESCOM's financial problems. So if you look at their last audited financial statements, I know that they are projecting in the current financial year a 10 billion rand profit. But I mean, you and I might have spoken about this before, Jimmy, that we must bear this in mind. Profit is an opinion by an accountant. It is not fact. When you read the cash flow statement of ESCOM, you can understand why the auditors have actually come up with the findings that they have, and have raised a going concern status of ESCOM. And largely it's because, yes, they are selling electricity, but selling less and less electricity against the backdrop of higher costs, but at the same time, against the backdrop of negative cash flows. So how long can ESCOM continue to rely on national treasury? I think that is what this ExCorp, that's really the detail that they now have to say. How are they going to steer ESCOM to not have to rely on national treasury, because national treasury is actually the taxpayer in the first instance? And secondly, how are they going to increase the electricity sales? And as they are currently sitting with idle capacity, and they're sitting with idle capacity where, again, it doesn't show what role they are going to play a ESCOM in the SADC region, particularly within the Southern Africa power pool grid, in terms of inter-country sales of electricity. I mean, right now, our neighbors, Zambia and Zimbabwe, are enduring 16, 17 hours of load shedding every single day. And yet ESCOM is sitting with idle capacity. And one can understand why ESCOM is not rushing to sell electricity to these neighbors, because these neighbors themselves have got the demand, but they don't have the means to pay. Now, when you take into account that municipalities themselves, you know, have a need to supply electricity to the residents, but they don't have the means to pay, or rather they misdirect the funds and misappropriate the funds that are from electricity sales, and therefore causing directly a problem for ESCOM. So the ExCo that has been announced is to say, well, what direction are they going to take? I think what has been interesting is the appointment of the former Sasol executive, Alfred Siema, who is going to be in charge of strategy. So I think, by and large, we're now going to be interested to hear between him and the CEO what direction, what strategic direction they're going to steer ESCOM towards, taking into account the unbundling and the breaking away of the very same entity which was in the first instance designed to be an integrated power utility and not broken up in the manner that it is, because then the, some of these business units are going to cannibalize on each other, taking into account that they will be acquiring or purchasing redundant electricity from renewable sources, and at the same time competing with the rooftop off-grid electricity, whereby we are seeing installations now in excess of 10,000 megawatts. And that is a big worry. Also, again, how are they going to arrest that? And they can't arrest that for as long as they believe that the current tariff structure is not cost reflective, as they are always protesting, because it then means that they will want to push ahead and increase the tariffs when people like myself have been calling for reduction of tariffs to 1 rand 22 cents a kilowatt hour, a standardized uniform tariff, if Eskom is in the long run to survive and to thrive. And I think this Exco, they have got a Herculean task ahead of them to be able to ensure that the findings by the auditors will be addressed and addressed adequately.
A Herculean task lies ahead for the power utility, especially with their incoming Exco. I think we'll leave the conversation then, Dr. Khadima. Thanks so much for those insights. Tsepo Khadima, independent analyst, joining us to take a look at Eskom's new executive committee, a very experienced executive committee, but one that certainly has its work cut out for it.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.